The time is about AD 26 in the small city of Bethany, just beyond the Jordan River. A preacher who's about 30 years old had been stirring people from both sides of the Dead Sea. So one day a committee of priests and Levites decided to come and visit the man who had been stirring up the people. And when they came to him, they asked him, saying, "Who are you?" Understanding the reason for their question, he answered, "I am not the Christ." The committee continued their interrogation, saying, "So tell us, who are you? Are you Elijah?" The man said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." "Therefore, tell us who you are, so that we may give an answer of them who sent us." Came back was this cryptic answer: "I am a voice of one who is crying in the wilderness." John chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. I am one of a voice of one who's crying in the wilderness. The man is none other than John the Baptist. And his terminology, the terminology of this title that was given to him, was made by Isaiah the prophet in chapter 40, verses 3 and 4, where he states, "A voice is crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Make smooth in the desert a pathway for our God. Let the valleys be lifted up, let the mountains be lowered, and let the rough grounds be made plain." The phrase of a voice crying in the wilderness describes and summarizes the uniqueness of the man, John, in two ways. One, he is a voice. He is a voice. He is a man with a message that is so important, a message that is vital, that is powerful in the ears of the listeners. Secondly, it is that this message was preached and proclaimed in a unique setting. What setting was that? In the wilderness. John literally preached in a physical wilderness where there's sand, rocks, dried soil. But from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 and 4, and John chapter 1, the wilderness that John also preached in was the wilderness of sin. The wilderness of sin. He is a voice that is crying with a message. Not only in a literal wilderness, but in a spiritual wilderness, a wilderness of sin, where mankind has been lost, has been separated from God. And it is this voice that has this vital message to proclaim to all the people in this wilderness. So we ask ourselves, what was so important about this message? What made this message so important to the people then, and how is it so important for us today? This morning, I'd like for us to focus, to heed the voice, to heed this voice and its message. And what message was that? Well, this voice cried out three messages that I'd like for us, especially as Christians, who are called to sow the seed, for us to adhere and apply in our lives. Point number one. It was a voice crying self-denial in a wilderness of self-indulgence. Again, it is a voice crying self-denial in a wilderness of self-indulgence. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 4, we are given the description of John the Baptist. With his rough and rugged clothing, it was made of camel's hair. We try to think of an image as John was given the Nazarite vow. He probably had windblown hair. He was laid out in the desert for so many years. He probably had sunburnt skin. Around his belt, around his waist, he wore a wide leather belt. And he lived off the land in the wilderness, subsisting on a diet of locusts and honey. Ugh, just think about that. Who in here today would want to be on a diet of eating insects for almost the rest of their life? Honey, we can probably deal with, but the insects, not so. That's what John did. What made this man to be so self-disciplined? What made this man to be self-denying himself? What produced a man like this? Well, there are three qualities that we see that produced his self-denial and his self-discipline. And the first point is that he had godly parents. He had godly parents. His father was a priest named Zacharias, and his mother was Elizabeth. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 6, we read that both of them were righteous in the eyes of the Lord, walking blamelessly in the commandments and the requirements of the Lord. The thing that strikes at me in this verse is the word both. Both of his parents, his father and his mother, walked blamelessly in the sight of the Lord, walking in the commandments and the requirements of the Lord. There are many today who are born into some horrible families, are they not? Parents who probably discipline or abuse their children, either physically, mentally, emotionally, even spiritually. It is by ungodly parenting like this, a lot of the individuals, a lot of the kids grow up leaving the faith, never hearing the gospel to begin with, getting messed up into drugs and alcohol, you name it. It's probably not the only influence, but it is one of the most vital influences that occur. There are many who are born into a family who have a godly father, but not so much of a godly mother. Could be the other way around. Born into a family with a godly mother, but not so much of a godly father. There are many who are born into this world who have never been taught about the commandments of the Lord, who have never been in a home where love is truly expressed. And we think about it in our lives. Honestly, it may be a little bit uncomfortable trying to hear this from a single man who's 23 years old. But folks, we can only look at what the Bible says. That's the best thing that I can do for you, to point out what the scriptures say. And one thing that helped John to be a man of self-discipline and a man who denied himself was that he had godly parents. Godly parents who walked in the commandments of the Lord. We're very familiar with the passage in Joshua where he says, "Choose this day of whom you will serve, the gods of the nations. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." We will serve the Lord. And that is the expression that John's parents left for him to see, to hear, to listen, and to know, and to live. Godly parents was one quality. I could go on, but there are many other points I'd like for us to get through. The second quality is that he had a godly purpose. John had a godly purpose. When you go back to Luke chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the angel came to Zacharias regarding John, saying that he will have many of the children of Israel to turn back to the Lord their God. He'll have many of the children who will go back obediently to their parents. He is a man who will be a forerunner. Forerunner, a man who will prepare the way for the Lord. That was his godly purpose. And we think about our godly purpose today. As Christians, we have a long-term purpose, do we not? A long-term purpose of studying and showing thyself approved unto God. As workmen who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, we have a long-term word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Now we ask ourselves, how is this a purpose? What will benefit me out of this purpose? Well, it will benefit you for a long-term relationship with God. It will have you closer to God, as Peter says to his readers in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Therefore, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. It amazes me because when you go through that second letter that Peter wrote to the people, in chapter 2, it begins with the condemnation of false teachers. And then when you get into chapter 3, it begins to talk about the call to repentance and the hope that we have for Christians. And then Peter ends the letter. The last thing he says to his people is grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. I encourage us all to look and dwell on that passage, because it is a call and a purpose for us to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is also a purpose for us because it will help us be fully equipped against false doctrine. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. He says, of the good doctrine where ye have walked, reject profane and wives' fable. And what does he say? And train thyself to godliness. Because godliness is profitable for all things. How are we doing with our godly training? How are we doing with our godly purposes in life? Again, there are long-term purposes and there are short-term purposes. There are physical purposes that we can do throughout our lives as Christians, and then there are spiritual purposes. I'd like for us to emphasize on the importance of the spiritual purposes, because our theme, again, is sowing the seed. And as we go out sowing the seed, we need to be that voice that says self-denial. Because we live in a world of self-indulgence, do we not? People who center the attention around themselves, who believe that the whole world revolves around themselves. And brothers and sisters, when we go out, when you think about it, what did the Pharisees accuse John of having? They accused John of having a demon. Brothers and sisters, when we go out in this world with the attitude of self-denial and self-discipline, the world's going to think that we ourselves are filled with demons. Why? Because that's not how the world defines it. That's not how the world defines society and living and morality nowadays. As the Christians in the first century were accused of turning the world upside down, Acts chapter 17, verse 6. We today need to turn this world upside down by being that voice crying in this wilderness of sin, in this wilderness of a world, saying self-denial in this wilderness of self-indulgence. What made John to be the man of self-discipline and self-denial? It is because he had godly parents, he had a godly purpose, and he had godly training. Point number two. It is also a voice crying. It is a voice that is crying. Change your ways in a wilderness of complacency. We live in a world that is filled with complacency, do we not? And when John was given the word of the Lord, immediately he began preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Immediately. The definition for that word immediately means to begin right away, right then and now, as soon as possible, instantly. John began preaching repentance because the kingdom of God is almost at hand. Brothers and sisters, that is the second voice that we need to be. We need to be individuals who are going out telling the world to repent. Why? Because this is a wilderness of complacency. We need to encourage people to change the way that they're living. In order for us to do that, is with the powerful word of God right here. Because the text says that as soon as the word of the Lord came to John, he immediately began preaching. And folks, we're not a prophet like John. We don't receive revelations anymore. That stuff has ceased now. Because why? But we have the fully revealed revelation of God right here in this book. And in order for us to encourage people to change their ways, we need to do so with this book right here. If we're not using this book right here, then we're going to be at a loss. It is the word of God, the gospel, that is the dynamite of God. It explodes in the life of people. And without this dynamite, we would be at a loss. John's task was to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. The preacher minced no words as he told his listeners what they needed to do to change their lives. In Luke chapter 3, verse 7 through 8, he says, "You brood of vipers. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that has been foretold? Therefore, bear fruits of the repentance." And don't you even begin to say that, well, maybe we have Abraham as our father, because from these stones God can bring forth children to Abraham. You brood of vipers. Vipers meaning you snakes, you deceivers. And folks, we live in a world with people who are lost in sin, who will try with all their power to deceive others and even yourselves. What helped John to get through this? It is because he was a man who preached straightforward. Brothers and sisters, we need preaching that is straightforward today, and I strongly agree and emphasize that statement. We need preaching that will wake people up and prepare them for heaven. We need preaching that says when you come into the house of God and you have sin in your life, and you're not convicted of it, then you are sitting at a table of devils. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. Brothers and sisters, we need to have straightforward preaching. John's preaching was pointed and practical, was it not? And today, our preaching must be pointed and practical today. It needs to be blunt, it needs to be straightforward, it needs to be black and white, because we are living in a society where people begin to shift things into what is called a gray area. John did not see no gray areas. He did not see any gray areas whatsoever. And he was the one who prepared the way for Jesus Christ. And when the Messiah, the Son of God, came, he didn't see any gray areas either. All we see is pointed and practical preaching. But now we also live in a society where people use the excuse saying that, well, our culture is different now. Well, since when did culture influence church? Because from what I understand, the church needs to be influencing culture, not culture influencing the church. The church is to make a difference in the world, regardless of what the culture says, you know, regardless of what the culture is doing right now. The church has always been called, since the first century, to what? To be different people. And folks, as we sow the seed, we need to be that voice that tells people to change their ways. Because we live in a wilderness full of complacency. And again, as we emphasize, the only way for us to do that, it's with this word right here. We can't do it without it. With many other exhortations, John preached the good news to all the people. Luke chapter 3, verse 18. And then now we ask ourselves, saying, well, since when was it to be called, or since when was it known as good news to tell people not to be selfish, for people to not be dishonest, and for people not to abuse their authority? That doesn't sound like good news, especially for us, because they're not going to like us. But folks, listen here. It was good news. Why? Because it destroyed complacency. That's why. It destroyed their complacency of how they lived in this world. That's why it was good news. Brothers and sisters, and especially as Christians, we are called to be in the world but not of the world, John chapter 17. And it's hard at times. Why? Because we have this influence that's around us. But again, as we mentioned prior, it is by our godly purpose, by our godly training, in order for us to get through this wilderness. As the Israelites crossed the wilderness to go to the promised land, we are going through this wilderness of the world to get to the promised land. And while we are in the wilderness, what are we doing? We are crying to the people, self-denial, and change your ways. Are we not? Amen. Exactly. Do we appreciate those who speak the truth in love? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. We should no more want a timid preacher than we would desire a timid surgeon. We should be willing to be voices crying, change your ways. Third and final point. We discussed that John was a voice crying self-denial in a wilderness of self-indulgence. He was a voice crying, change your ways, in a wilderness of complacency. And the third and final point is that he was a voice crying, be courageous, in a wilderness of cowardice. Be courageous in a wilderness of cowardice. It's interesting how, when you turn it over to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, the first people who are mentioned in that passage are the cowardly. The cowardly. We will close with the final scene of John's life, with him standing before Herod. And Herod was being reprimanded because of his wife Herodias, who used to be his brother's wife, and also because of the wicked things that Herod has done. He had John arrested and thrown into prison because John had been saying, notice that, he didn't just say once, he had been saying, he was constantly saying, it is not lawful for you to have her. Luke chapter 3, verse 19 and following. It is not lawful for you to have her. So we see that this ties in a little bit with our previous point, is that how was John able to be so blunt and straightforward with his people? It's because he had courage and boldness and commitment in the Lord. He didn't tolerate cowardness. He encouraged courageous and boldness. This took incredible courage for John to upright and say personally, face to face with Herod, it is not lawful for you to have her. Why? Because we understand that Herod seemed to be a very important man at that time. Was he not? He was a man with power. He was a man who had control of people. And John looked at him and he was constantly saying, it is not lawful for you to have her. Brothers and sisters, that took incredible courage to say to a man who has the power over your life. And John knew without a doubt of his mind that it would cost him his life. And it did. Herod later on, when he continued reading, had John beheaded and had his plate served on a platter. For who? For his wife, Herodias. When you go back to tradition matters, there are many who say that after John had been beheaded, Herodias took a pen and stabbed it right in the tongue of the prophet. And she cried out, yelling, saying, no more can you say that I will not be anybody's. No more will you say that. Both she and Herod believed that they had stopped the voice of the prophet. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you that his voice was not silenced, even after his death. Because as John portrayed in his life, and even as Jesus Christ had taught, because Jesus Christ mentioned saying that no greater man was anybody than John the Baptist. He was a man of courage, he was a man of boldness, he was a man of self-discipline, he was a man of self-denial, he was a man who cried out repentance to all people. The voice of a man of courage cannot be stilled, and even to this day as Christians, we take up that voice to the people, to the world, to the wilderness of sin. We preach it and proclaim it to them. And even after we pass away, the next generation and the next generation and the next generation, they will continue to be that voice. That is why it is very important for us to look at the youth today, because they will be the next generation who will step up to take leadership and enrollment in the congregation. May we ourselves today pray, even if we have to pray, yes, the first century church did, pray for boldness and courageous. May we pray that we can speak with the truth, that we can speak with bluntness, that we can speak straightforwardly, that we can speak to others who are lost in this wilderness. May we have the courage to sow the seed, even at times when we have confrontation. Brothers and sisters, as we close out this lesson, there are many other points I wish that we could make. But there are three specific ones that I find that are very important for us to adhere and apply as we go about our day-to-day life as Christians, sowing the seed. We need to be that voice crying self-denial. We need to be that voice crying, change your ways. And we need to be that voice crying, be courageous. Be courageous. And again, the question is, what helped John be able to be this sort of a man? It all centers back around to his commitment to the Lord. There may be some of us here this morning asking ourselves, why am I not able to produce these qualities that John had? Well, maybe we ought to re-examine our lives. Re-evaluate our lives. Re-evaluate our commitment to the Lord. Is it fully committed? Is our commitment to the Lord full and thorough and dedicated? This morning, we cry out with a message of salvation. For those who have never obeyed the gospel, to hear the word of God, it was preached just now, that you may believe, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, John 8, 24. To repent of your sins, to change your ways, to be fully committed, to do a complete 180. Because if we don't repent, Christ says that ye shall likewise perish. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5. We must confess with our mouth that faith of Jesus Christ, for with the mouth produces salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. We must then come to the water graves of baptism to have our sins washed away, to be baptized in the blood. We're about to sing the hymn, Power in the Blood. And the power of salvation is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. We must then remain faithful until the day that we die. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Maybe one here this morning who has erred and has sinned in his or her life. Well, the invitation is extended for one to come forward to have their sins repented and confessed, that the prayer of a righteous man availeth and is very powerful. If you need to come forward to ask prayers of encouragement, if you're struggling, if you're being fought against temptation, where prayers with the saints are offered for that as well. Again, if you need to respond, we encourage you to please come forward together as we stand and as we sing.